You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. I'm Eden Trevison.
And I'm Hannah Darty.
And you're listening to You've Got Issues. I can hear you, Hannah. Don't worry. Hi, everyone. Welcome back.
Another episode
of You've Got Issues this week. Today, we have a very special guest speaker with us. We thought we were going to change it up a little bit. We have junior Kevin Callahan in the studio with us. Kevin, how are you today?
Hey, what's up? Really happy to be here.
Yay. We're happy to have you. Yeah. Okay, so Kevin, we brought you in to discuss hockey. The hockey team. The beloved Lafayette hockey team.
Indeed, which I know absolutely nothing about, but that's
so we want to know all about it.
Go for it.
Tell us about your recent game, because I know it was a huge win for the team.
Oh yeah, definitely. So huge tilt. It was away at Susquehanna University. Now, they have a rink probably about 20 minutes away from their school, and it's in a place that, you know, it's very underpopulated.
My mom went there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So it's very interesting to go there. And at the rink, they have this, you know, open fire pit. You know, we walk in, it's really hot. It's like this, you know, ski lodge feel to it, you know. Outside, they have this pool with this, you know, slide, and it was a very interesting rink. Probably a rink I've never really seen before. So it was a new environment. It was something different. Long bus ride there. But we were really excited. We were real excited. Trust me. We were down two guys. And we don't have, you know, a huge team in, you know, the first place. So when we're down a couple guys due to injuries or due to other obligations, it's tough because other players really have to step it up. And so we went out on the
ice. More playing time for you, though.
Exactly. You know, more exercise, more time to get down and dirty. So we went out there, and our coach said we got to hit it right off the bat. You know, he told us a little anecdote beforehand about, you know, working hard and not giving up. And we went out there, and we stuck it to him. First period, second period, third period. We didn't let off the gas. We went full ahead, full steam ahead, actually. And we won 9-4 in the end.
Nine goals in hockey?
Yeah.
Isn't that a lot?
That's impressive.
Yeah, no, honestly, the feeling after that win, honestly, it's ineffable. You know, something you really can't put in words, because in that moment, when you know that you and your boys went out there and just, you know, really stuck it to them, you know, and you took some hits, but you also delivered some hits. It really is a good feeling, and that's why I play hockey. You know, it's at the club level, but you know, it's still a D1 school. We're still having fun, and we're bringing it to them.
So you were explaining to me before that you do have coaches, even though it's a club sport.
Oh yeah. We actually have three. You know, they're great guys, local guys, you know, the Lehigh Valley. You know, they get some perks, they get to work out at the gym and, you know, have some access to some of Lafayette's facilities, and they do get paid. But they also, you know, the great thing about our coaches is they do it for the love of the sport and for the love of the guys. You know, they'll hang around with us in the locker room, and, you know, not only are they a role model to us and a coach to us, but they also are, you know, a friend to us, and it's someone I can really look for, you know, for not only hockey advice, but also maybe for, you know, life advice if I ever need it, because these guys, you know, they've been through college, they're still, you know, relatively young, and they relate to us on a really personable, you know, level. It's really nice.
Sounds like a really nice relationship.
Yeah.
I respect it.
And so most of your friends are on the team, would you say?
Oh yeah, and that's, you know, the best part. Just we're such a close group of guys. You know, no one on the team has animosity to anyone else. We mesh so well. And that makes it exciting to go to practice, because you know it's a club sport. You know, you might have a test in a couple days, or you know you could just take the night off and you could relax. But then you think, "Hey, I'm not going to let my boys down." Because they're not only your teammates, they're your best friends. They're your friends who you go into battle with and you do anything for.
You heard it here, folks. Go into battle with.
I can really see the passion.
Oh, yeah.
And
determination.
I'm sure our listeners can hear it.
Oh, yeah.
So is there like any social scene with the hockey team, or is it purely sport?
Oh, you're talking the social right here.
Oh.
Yeah. So you brought on the wrong guy, right guy here.
The wrong guy.
We actually have we've tried to organize some things. We are at a disadvantage due to nobody on the team owning a off-campus house, which we had in past years. Past years, hockey parties, you know, honestly, Project X level.
Freshman year.
Yeah.
Throwback.
I know. You guys probably went to some too, didn't you?
We definitely went to one.
Yeah, absolutely.
We dabbled.
Yeah, and we're hoping to maybe throw one or two this year if we can get a house. But I've been in contact with some other sports to get a joint party in. For example, women's rugby, we've talked to. Unfortunately, you know, there's a date that fell through. So, you know, and also other, you know, other things we've been trying to, like, but like social things where we meet and maybe just talk, non-alcoholic, and we just,
of course,
yeah, no, absolutely, and we just, you know, want to mesh and kind of expand, you know, our interactions with other club sports, because they're in the same position as us. You know, they're not through NCAA, so they do it more of the love of the game. They played it in high school, but they didn't make it to the college level, but they still play. So I think it's really interesting to be with, you know, women's rugby, or there actually is a women's hockey team in the works right now, and to just meet with them. Anywhere, you know, anywhere we can, you know, maybe order some pizza, hang out, play a little board games, and just socialize. I think it'll help with our team bonding, but also expanding our character.
That sounds great, and what a great experience. And I think that, you know, when you aren't playing the D1 sport, you don't become obsessive, or either obsessive or just tired of the game, because obviously D1 takes a lot of work, but this is just kind of a nice way to do something you love.
Absolutely.
So I also hear that you're a freestyle rapper, or at least you can freestyle rap, and I'd love to hear something.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't know if you guys have a beat or something. No, if not, I don't really need a beat. I can literally go from anywhere.
Do you want to play a beat?
Yeah.
Should I look something up right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's play a beat.
Aiden's going to look up a beat.
We're going to play a beat, everyone.
On the internet.
What should I look up? Classic.
Pound cake instrumental.
Pound cake.
He has something prepared.
Okay, I want to see if our mics can stay on, but also at the same time. Is this by Drake? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Okay, let me see if.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's good stuff right there. That's good stuff. Yeah. Yeah, what up, yo? KK the killer in the house, yo. Rapping the beast, but maybe, what is that, Jay Dilla? Yo, my name is Kevin. Stick with me and you'll go to heaven. You can catch me down at the Marble of 27s. I'm chiefing on that stuff at 7-Eleven. Yo. I like to chill at the beach in Lafayette. I really found my niche. I like to make films, yeah. Shout out to Hannah and Aiden. Y'all my girls, yo. I'll take it for a swirl. We go downtown, yo. People say I might be a clown, and I say hell nah, yo. Say what up to your ma. We be chillin'. Don't call me a villain, yo. We be chillin' on the quad, yeah. Yo, I got my good squad here at Lafayette College. Getting a lot of knowledge. Hey, yo. Chilling in Fairmont College Student Center. Yo, I got my professors. They a good fucking good mentor. Yeah. It's a little something for you guys.
I love that.
That was great. That was great.
Shout out to Fairmont Student Center. That was actually really good.
It's one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, no, it really flew off the tongue there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Do you just kind of rhyme it?
So I'll give you a little backstory on my love for rapping. So, you know, I really admired Eminem. He was a big, you know, role model for me growing up in my career. And, you know, over the summer, I live in Ocean City, New Jersey. And it's interesting because it's a town, it's a dry town, you know, there's not a huge nightlife there. It's very family oriented, you know, so a lot of times, you know, you find yourself just hanging at your friend's house on his back porch or at the beach, and, you know, you're with all your friends, you know, maybe got some speakers, and next thing you know, you're like, hey, like, let's put on a beat. Let's see what we got. Let's see if we can do what the big names do, like Drake. You know, you got Lil Dicky, you got, you know, Logic and all those guys, you know. At the end of the day, they're just people just like us. You know, let's see if we got what it takes. You know, maybe we don't, but we can sure try.
And you tried and succeeded?
Yeah, I mean, at first, God bless you.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, I mean, at first, you know, obviously, it's a little rough around the edges. I'm still working on my skills and what I got, you know. But I think improvement is definitely in the works.
Good.
Honestly, those That's days on the beach, just hanging out, those are the best kind of days.
Absolutely.
So, final topic, because we only have you for a few minutes here, that Good. We want to discuss is fraternal life at Lafayette College. So we often give our, I guess, female perspective as a sorority life, but we never really hear about the fraternity side. So just kind of tell us about what you love and what you hate about it.
All right, yeah. No, that's definitely a beefy question that I, you know, aim to help you out on that one. So coming in as a freshman, it was interesting because my sister was a senior when I was a freshman. She was in the sorority Delta Gamma. And so she, you know, was a big advocate for Greek life. My dad wasn't in a fraternity because he came in to playing hockey in college and then and also lacrosse. So he never joined a fraternity. But so, you know, I never really had that, you know, a lot of kids come into college and their dad was in a fraternity and, you know, maybe they want to, you know, join one just like their dad did. But I didn't have that. But I also, you know, knew the value of Greek life also because, you know, having a sister, you know, she knew that Greek life is, you know, a big part of Lafayette. Big part of their history, and she knew that, like, if I was going to have a full experience here, which I'm not saying you can't have if you don't join Greek life, but I think it definitely helps, and that's something that I discovered. So coming in freshman year, it's definitely something I wanted to do, and when Rush came around, you know, I kind of put myself on the market, you know, try to expand myself socially, and really just, you know, talk to the you know, my basically, I guess you could say, future brothers, and just really, you know, I got to meet some great guys in all the fraternities. I went around to, you know, all of them as, you know, I was told to. Because coming in, you know, people would say, like, oh, you might have an idea of which fraternity you might want to join, but you should go around to all of them. And if anyone's listening and who maybe is a freshman or wants to rush in the future, a sophomore, you know, enjoy it all because, you know, Rush really is an interesting time. And, you know, where fraternities open their doors and where you can, even if you don't even join one, you can meet a lot of new people and make really, you know, new and cool connections. And so basically I found the one that I knew would probably fit me best, and that is Delta Cab Epsilon. Really, you know, was astounded, you know, by, you know, the house and the brotherhood and the solidarity really caught my eye. And I showed a lot of interest in it, and it turned out when Rush came around, I got a bid, I accepted it, and I joined, and I never really looked back. I now live in the house, and it's just been, you know, a great ride so far, and one that I hope to, you know, really continue to see through my experience here. It really helps me out with social connections and expanding myself, you know, future careers. Because, you know, you can get in contact with alumni. And even if, like, you know, you meet someone who you want a job with, and maybe, you know, they didn't go to Lafayette, but maybe they're in Deke at Alabama. You know, instant connection right there. Because at the end of the day, like, I think a huge thing is connection. And, you know, expanding yourself and your network really, really does help with that. And that's something that I saw in Greek life.
So what do you think when the news is like, Greek life, fraternities are ruining everything, you know, what do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely interesting question. As we can, you know, a lot of people point fingers to the recent Penn State happenings and, you know, things around, you know, there's something that happened at Clemson a couple years back. And a huge fear that, you know, if we can, you know, say this, is death. People think, or just overall, you know, there's hazing, you know, that people fear. And there's a lot of negative connotation definitely surrounding it. And it's tough because it's, you know, talking to people who haven't joined Greek life, talking to people who maybe don't understand Greek life, you know, they might have a lot, get these negative things about it. And, you know, there are some happenings around that are unfortunate. You know, obviously we see the Penn State thing, but, you know, I think it is interesting to note that, you know, it does vary on the chapter and it varies on the chapter at school. But I think overall Greek life around in the United States of America does do a lot of good. I've been really happy with my fraternity in the amount of community service we have done, which we have led in all fraternities. You know, last year my fraternity led the fraternity average in GPA. So, you know, if there's a, you know, Greek life member in my fraternity who's struggling with grades, we pick them up. You know, if some kid, one of my brothers is struggling in a class, and maybe I took that class before, maybe someone else has, or maybe I'm in that class with him, I'll sit down with him. I'll say, hey, man, let's work this out. You know, we're not only doing this, you know, for us, but we're also doing it for, you know, our brotherhood and our fraternity. And it really, that just is something to appreciate, is that brotherhood, how we pick each other up, but we're also not afraid to, you know, go out and network with other things. So I think there is this negative stigma to fraternities, you know, surrounding, you know, certain things that I've previously mentioned. But I think overall, I think fraternities are headed in a good direction. Absolutely. Because there's a lot of good that fraternities do. And if you do point out any bad, absolutely the good would outweigh the bad. But I really don't see much bad because especially here at Lafayette College, because we have seminars, we have talks, we meet with, you know, the Deke leadership, we have Deke leadership conferences. And so basically our leadership, you know, in our exec board, and not only here, you know, in my fraternity, but in fraternities across the world, they're training themselves, you know, to get better, to do better, and to basically, you know, expand themselves to be, you know, basically the best that they can be. Because I think fraternities, what they want to do is they want to continue on the good path that they're going, but they want to strive for more excellence. And I think if fraternities around the world keep doing that, I see no wrong.
Yeah, I would say Deke's pretty good at that. I asked you this because the New York Times this morning came out saying that Florida State made one of the most aggressive moves and shut down activities at all 55 of its fraternities and sororities after a Pi Kappa Phi pledge was found dead after attending a party.
I mean, it's like the same thing, though, that happened at Penn State.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know, these, I guess that fraternity, they were throwing an alcoholic event, and, you know, a lot of things, there's this stigma that kids, you know, you go to a party and you have to drink. And the unfortunate thing is that some kids might not listen exactly, you know, what they learned in their alcohol EDU classes, or, you know, they might not be doing what their parents told them to do, and they kind of maybe lose control. But I think a good thing, though, that fraternities do is, like, they watch over their brothers. If they know, like, maybe one of their brothers had too much to drink, they say, hey, man, stop. You know, like you shouldn't. Because the thing is, like, college kids, they do drink. You know, that is the ultimate reality. And I think, obviously, Lafayette College's face, when you take your alcohol EDU course, they say, we're not judging you for drinking. We just want to show you how to smartly drink. And I think some of these kids, you know, just neglect that. And I think neglecting that is probably, like, is definitely something that's very dangerous. And but the thing is, like, it does get neglected here and there. And so when that does happen, though, that's when, you know, a fraternity has to kick in and say, hey, no, like, you need to, you know, obey by your own morals, and you just need to stay safe out there. And there's sometimes, especially at these big schools, you know, with big parties, with everything around, and maybe the kid wanted to look cool in front of his friends, in front of girls, and show how many, you know, maybe beers he could drink. And I think that's when it gets dangerous, and that's when it gets risky. And I think it's just, you know, you got to stay conscious, and you got to have this alertness of, hey, when does it get too far? When is this line being crossed? And I think Florida State coming in and making that aggressive decision was basically this, you know, no policy for that neglection of, you know, this smartness that, like, these students are lacking. You know, they want to keep their students basically on top of the ball here.
I wonder, though, if, yeah, great points. I wonder, though, if kicking off all these fraternities and sororities will just lead to another group, developing and absolutely doing the same thing.
Yeah, and that's the fear, because, like I said, no matter what, I think these students are going to drink, and if you kick them off of, maybe they're having parties in their houses, maybe they'll just have the parties off campus. You know, things like parties, especially in social life, will allocate to wherever the resources are necessary. You know, it's kind of like simple economics here. You know, and I'm saying is, like, you allocate where your resources are prevalent. And I think basically, like, oh, we can't have a party in our house, maybe we'll go off campus. And that does run a risk, though, because maybe the parties aren't regulated.
Right.
You know, maybe if, like, for example, with Deke, if we want to have a party in our house, we get it registered. So we have a security company come, they check IDs, we get wristbands, and it's all regulated. So if you're under
21, you have to have water, right?
Yeah, we have to have water. There's no hard alcohol. I believe it's beer and wine that we can serve. And, you know, so if you're under 21, you don't get a wristband, you can't drink. And so it's a very smart way to have a social event and to, quote unquote, party. I think smart partying is very, very important. And I do, like, that's what I fear with this FSU move. It is very aggressive, and I think it is good showing, sticking it to them, like, maybe, like, saying it's a wake-up call. You know, we had a student die. No student should be sent to college and die. You know, when you drop your kid off at college, you're thinking, my daughter is about to have the best time of his life, not put in a risky situation where they risk dying. And I think that is definitely something that, you know, nobody should, you know, expect. And I think FSU was, like, you know, that's what they wanted to emphasize here. But I do fear that maybe some of the regulations will be lost.
I also think, you know, this was a party, not a hazing event or whatever. Yeah. And when it comes down to partying, I feel like I never see, like, forced drinking at a party.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least where we go, it's just kind of like, do your thing, have fun, be safe. No, so in that way, it's kind of your own prerogative, and this kid seemed to have gone overboard. But
Yeah, and that's the emphasis. I'm just, you know, just staying smart out there. You know, just
stay smart, kids.
Yeah, just know yourself, and know how much you can handle. And maybe if your buddy, you know, alcohol EDU has a lot of great points. And if you're unsure of it, you can always take it again, or you can also go to your local resources. There's many resources on campus here to basically that deals with alcohol use and drug use. And if you have a problem, if you have a friend who maybe has a problem, you know, come talk to me. Come talk to anybody.
Reach out.
Kevin Callahan, everyone.
Absolutely.
All right, Kevin, thank you so much for coming on. This was fun.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right. That was Kevin Callahan. We're glad he joined us today. Hopefully we'll have some more guests in the future. As you guys know, we like to do that every once in a while. Do you know what I realized?
What's up?
Today was election day last year.
I know. It was actually my time hop this morning.
And that was basically the last time we had a guest.
Oh, wow.
So we need to get more of those on.
I think we had one in the spring, Han.
Who?
I don't know.
I don't think so. But yeah, it's just crazy how it's been a year.
Since election. Yeah, I was on television in front of 6 million people time last year. And I was not speaking English. I was literally so nervous. I couldn't even hear myself speak. But we powered through. So, Han, I have some topics to talk about.
Let's hear them.
So, first, I'm just going to do a little quick plug. Not only is the last home football game on Saturday, but also the evening of acapella is on Saturday night, 8 p.m. at Williams Arts Center. So, it's all four acapella groups are performing. It's literally pitch perfect. We perform on a stage in a theater. It's pretty legit. And
Kevin's trying to get out of here.
Kevin, pull the door. Okay. So it's all four acapella groups and an acapella group from Lehigh performing at 8 p.m. on Saturday.
Lehigh? How did they get in there?
There's always one guest group from Lehigh or Muhlenberg sing every year. So this year it's Lehigh. It's the all-female group, the Echoes from Lehigh. It's going to be a great time. If you want to hear some cool songs, if you want to hear me sing, which I don't really like when people hear me sing, but it's fine.
I'll be there
on Saturday night. So I just want to plug that. Another thing is, it's not really a plug, but so I have a documentary course every Monday night, and usually we have a guest speaker with their documentary film come in. And on Monday we watched this documentary called Newtown, and it was obviously about the Sandy Hook shootings in 2012. And the director, whose name is Kim Snyder, came to our class and we watched the film and we spoke about Newtown. And honestly, I really do remember the day in 2012 because we were sophomores in high school, and I remember coming home from school and my mom freaking out about it and everybody freaking out about it. But we didn't really know details until later in the day. But the documentary was by far one of the most powerful things I've ever seen in my life. Like, everybody in the room was crying. It was the most upsetting.
I wanted to see that.
It's so, you have to prepare yourself for it. And they told us ahead of time, like, it's very upsetting, but they used actual footage from the police cars and the ambulances on the actual day.
Wow.
You can see everything. And they interviewed three families who all lost their son or daughter who were 6 or 7 years old. So if you ever want to watch it, it came out last year, and Kim Snyder is going around the world right now with the film because it's won so many awards. But yeah, I definitely recommend it. Natalie watched it. Natalie's in my class with me, and we watched it, and we just kept looking at each other like, what? Like, this is actually crazy. And the fact that someone had, it's just insane to me. But yeah.
Did the documentary bring up anything about how school systems change? Because I know even in my little hometown, which is the safest place, after that shooting, we got a police officer that always is in the school.
They didn't really talk about that. They just talked about the actual school and what they did. So for those of you that don't know, Sandy Hook Elementary was actually knocked down and rebuilt, and all of the students that went there, the incident happened in December, so they were about to leave for Christmas break, so they were off the rest of December, and then they came back in January, and they went to the elementary school in the town next to them. So during that time, they knocked down Sandy Hook, built a new
school because they thought that, and I don't blame them, no one was going to be able to walk in there and think the same way. So they completely, like, they obviously knocked down the whole building, but when they rebuilt it, it was completely different. Like, did not resemble anything like the old Sandy Hook.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
But yeah, definitely a documentary to watch if you're willing to watch it. It's very hard to watch, but it was really great.
Well, speaking of mass shootings, there was another one this week. At the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, Texas. Yep. A guy went in and killed 26 people and hurt many more. And there were two men involved that actually had guns on them and stopped the attack. Now there's kind of controversy.
So close.
Over this, because President Trump has come out and been like, well, if those men didn't have guns, then there would have been plenty more killed. And then the other argument is, if he was allowed to have a gun, then this wouldn't have happened. So it's a big issue. And, you know, it was just in Vegas. Now it's in Texas. It's very constant. And speaking of the New York Times again, they came out with an article that says the U.S. is a massive outlier when it comes to international gun deaths. So they looked at a bunch of countries and they found that no other country has more than 46 million guns or 18 mass shooters. The United States has 270 million guns and 90 mass shooters between 1966 and 2012. So on this graph, it's basically like all these different countries in a corner, including India, China, Russia, Philippines, and then the United States, just this like out there on the graph, huge outlier. And after looking at a bunch of data, what they found was that crime, race, or mental health didn't play a role. But what did play a role was that there was a relationship between how many guns the country owns and how many mass shootings there are, which I found interesting.
Also, to add on to that, one of the things that I found interesting was the actual shooter. So his name was Devin Kelly, and he actually escaped from a mental health facility in 2012 and previously threatened Air Force officials. But someone reported today at 2 p.m. that they are not surprised that this happened, because they came out and said that in high school, Kelly made impulsive verbal threats when he got angry, though no one ever thought he'd actually act on them. And he's been threatening a lot of people via text message. So,
yeah, he wasn't even supposed to have a gun.
Yeah.
There was a miscommunication between, like, his Air Force or something. And
it wasn't even in Texas where the mental health facility was. It was in New Mexico. So he fled to Texas.
It's very crazy. Yeah. I feel like every week we're reporting on a different mass shooting.
It's actually something really interesting, too, that I should have brought up before, but we have a blog in our documentary class online, and this girl was talking about how once this was in the news, she told her friend that she was sitting next to you. She's like, oh, there's just a shooting in Texas, and she showed like nothing, and she said, are we just getting used to the fact that there are just so many shootings around the country? Mm-hmm. Like, we're starting to become insensitive to it because we're so used to it,
right?
And that's obviously a huge problem. It's kind of
like a country at war, I feel like. It's like, you know, all it takes it takes one person to kill so many people. And every day there's so many people being killed by Americans driving their car into people, like what we were discussing last week in New York City, to shootings at concerts and in churches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's scary.
It's insane.
So, moving on from this depressing topic, I have another documentary to bring up, which is called Simply Complicated. And it's on YouTube. It is of Demi Lovato, and it just kind of goes over her life thus far. She's 25 now, and for a 25-year-old, she has been through a lot. I mean, she's gone in and out of rehab. She's been anorexic, bulimic, depressed. She's bipolar. And so she just kind of discussed the struggle she's gone through. It was a very honest documentary, and how she's come out of them. And you really see, like, I don't know, I feel like when I was younger, I'd see Demi Lovato and I'd be like, wow, she looks so good. And then I was like, wait, what happened to her? And now she explained kind of like, oh, well, you know, when I was on American Idol, I was like on drugs. And you look at that performance and you're like, oh, well, yeah, actually that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I just highly recommend it. I mean, A, it's free. B, it was really good. And I gained a lot more respect for Demi Lovato. I've never been a huge fan of her, but now I'm like, wow. And it also follows the making of her new album. So definitely go out and check that out.
Yeah, for sure. One of the other things, because this reminded me of Demi Lovato, today I watched the top 20 best auditions on The Voice on YouTube, and it's actually so good. It's like 40 minutes long. I didn't finish it yet, but it's so good. Like, some of the people, and there was a girl that was so good, and I was like, oh my god, she's great. So I looked her up on Google, and she was killed 2 years ago.
Oh yeah,
Christina Grimmie.
Yeah,
I totally forgot.
Her voice is insane.
Unreal though. Actually unreal. She's so good. But if any of you are interested in viewing that, just go on YouTube. It's great. Okay, so you keep taking my topics, Hannah. It's fine.
I took Demi Lovato.
No, I had The Voice, but it's fine. So on Sunday, Hannah and I had a day, which meant walking down the steps of Lafayette College and heading to Bacon Fest.
Yes, Bacon Fest. The sixth annual Bacon Fest?
Sixth annual Bacon Fest.
In Easton, Pennsylvania, in the Center Square, which is the historic district. And that's about a 5-minute walk from us. And it has over 150 vendors. 80,000 people show up. It's a weekend-long event. And of just pure bacon, pig, and some other random treats, but the main focus is bacon and pig, and I think it is literally a vegan's nightmare there, but we had fun.
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't get anything. Actually, no, I did, but nothing bacon related. But yeah, I thought it was great. I thought the atmosphere was amazing. We have to write an article about it for our journalistic writing class, so we were able to interview a lot of the vendors and a lot of the people that were there. And we actually talked to like a 35-year-old guy in a bacon suit.
Yeah.
And he had two pit bulls, and he ordered bacon costumes for them on Amazon. And they were dressed in bacon costumes with the guy. He's like, oh, I have to pull up the quote. I have to pull up my article. It's so funny. I was like, so where'd you get the costumes? He's like, oh, Amazon. We're like, why did you dress up? He's like, I love making a curse word of myself. can't say curse words on the radio, but yeah, so it was really fun. I thought it was like a really great environment, and a lot of people showed up. Like when we were saying like 80,000, I mean, it was over the span of 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. I only went on Sunday, but it was still packed. Hannah and I still had to weave through a lot of people in order to get to the vendors and the places we want to go to. But they had crazy foods like bacon wrapped sausages and bacon donuts. I don't know. I would
bacon
probably throw
cupcakes,
that up.
Chocolate covered bacon.
Crazy bacon stuff. They had bacon alcoholic beverages. The new steakhouse in town was serving bacon infused margarita martini. I don't even know.
Yeah, we don't drink, so
yeah,
we wouldn't know. But they have, I mean, I talked to a woman who was drinking a bacon Bloody Mary.
Yeah, that was one of them.
So if you can think of any food item, they had it there with bacon.
Oh yeah,
one of the best things there was the bacon mac and cheese balls. Those were really good, and those were at a lot of different venues. But yeah, it was very eclectic and a bacon lover's dream.
Yes, for sure. It was a fun event. A lot of people. Also, Stewart's Root Beer Floats were there. And you can nothing is better than a Stewart's Root Beer Float. Let me tell you that. Shout out to my mom, because she introduced me to root beer floats, and I was like, two.
Okay. I feel like we just had like a really good weekend this weekend.
Yeah. Sunday was fun. Next topic. Kylie Jenner.
Ooh. That's what I have. I know what you're going to talk about.
So Kylie Jenner, there are a lot of rumors going on with her because of pregnancy rumors. Is she pregnant? Is she not? However, she was seen going onto her private jet in baggy clothing, like extremely baggy clothing. Although she keeps telling people that she, well, actually, no, she doesn't say that she isn't pregnant, but she's not confirming or denying that she's pregnant, which I find interesting. However, she was caught in a pharmacy buying tampons, which is Hannah shaking her head because Hannah's weird about that stuff, like TMI, but I don't care about that stuff, so I'm very open about it.
Sorry.
But yeah, was she buying them for someone else? Is she actually, I think she's actually pregnant.
I mean, I don't know, but even Kris Jenner wouldn't say yes or no to it on the Ellen show. She was like, oh, we'll have to see and wait for the show, because she gets paid for the doing the show and she gets a percentage.
Well, obviously she's not gonna say.
Yeah,
I think
not there. I mean, I, what I'm saying is they're waiting for the most, the right moment where they can make the most money.
Very true.
If it's true.
Very true. But it's so interesting. It's, the Kardashians are all crazy.
I mean, it's like just when you think you couldn't think of anything more crazy, they come out with something that's more crazy.
I swear to God, I think they hire people to like come up with these situations just so people can. Another topic that, oh my God. Okay, BuzzFeed's annoying because they always have the LOL thing in front of it. Like, I just want to read the article. Why do they do that? Like, Hannah, do you see this? Why is it such a
sale? Oh, that is weird.
Okay, well, I read it before. There is a version of Pokemon Go that's going to be for Harry Potter coming out next year.
Oh, gosh.
So I think Pokemon Go is the stupidest thing that I've ever heard in my entire life. Especially because friends in my grade, especially from home, played it while we were home last summer. I was like, are you kidding me? This is the dumbest thing ever. But if you don't know what Pokemon Go is, which I'd be shocked if you haven't heard of it, you basically go around with your phone and little pokey people show up in front of your phone and you like snap your wrist at it.
Gotta,
I guess,
catch them all.
And then you catch it. So yeah, they're doing a Harry Potter one, which I bet is going to be with a little stick. What do you call it?
Oh yeah,
what is it called? Like a
witch stick,
like a
magic wand.
Sure. I was never into Harry Potter either.
Me neither. You're talking to the wrong people about this topic.
Anyway, just informing our viewers. Oh, there's three responses. Should we look at that? So, yeah, there's going to be one coming out next year. So, all you Harry Potter fans, I bet will be even more. I bet a lot of people will, like, do the Harry Potter one.
Oh, yeah. People are going to love it.
Harry Potter is more famous, in my opinion, than the Pokemon. I think it's just the concept of like being on your phone and like walking around. So I read an article last year that someone walked 26 miles in a day with their Pokemon Go,
catching them all.
Literally wanting to catch them all. There was an article too about a guy who did it for 2 days straight and caught all the Pokemon and was on the news.
I guess it gets you up.
Actually crazy. Well, that was my last topic.
We'll see how that plays out. Anna, I have a few topics.
So,
yesterday was election day, and the Democrats had a big night, unlike last year. And so, we're from New Jersey. Governor Chris Christie is no longer the governor. I mean, he is, but he won't be because Phil Murphy won in New Jersey. And also Ralph Northman won in Virginia. So those were two big states that are Democrat. And another big thing that happened was that there was a historic win for minorities. According to CNN, two openly transgender candidates won their races. New Jersey elected its first sick mayor in Hoboken. And major cities across the U.S. elected their first African-American mayors. Mm-hmm. So changes are coming and it's looking good. people are more open, which is nice. And that's just a big change. And we'll see how that affects policy, which I'm sure we'll cover in the future.
For sure.
So, according to Bloomberg, Panera Bread, our favorite.
Tell me, they're delivering now.
No, they're shutting down.
Wait, what?
I'm kidding. They're not shutting down.
They're delivering.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, that's not what I'm here to talk about. You can look that one up.
Okay, bye.
So Panera is buying Bonpain, which is a big...
I think it's we. I think OU is we.
It's AU.
Okay, never mind. I suck. Bye.
We don't speak French. But that's a big, chain restaurant. It's kind of like a Panera, but more coffee bakery type. And... now they're going to be all one company under Jab Holding Company, which is an investment firm backed by Australia's billionaire family, the Ryman family. And what it hopes to do is to add more technology to the business to help it, because Panera is known for just, you know, quickly ordering on the computer. So they plan to put that into the new their locations.
Yeah.
And I mean, I personally love that place. I went to it a lot over the summer when I had an internship. It was right next to my office. Their mini brownies are to die for. But we'll see how that goes. Another one that I have here is some travel tips, which I thought was timely because we're going abroad soon.
Hannah's such a European girl. Hannah's gonna come back like trendy and annoying. That's my...
You think?
I'm kidding. No, you're gonna love it. You'll have fun.
But supposedly it's better to not eat the airplane food. I mean, first of all, the airplane food's unhealthy, but I guess it helps you stay more up and at it. So that's good to know.
Can I just make a Panera comment real quick?
Yes.
Okay, so I read a billboard on Friday that Panera was delivering, and then they do deliver, but only to specific addresses, and I just put the address in for Lafayette, and they don't deliver here. Is that sad? Whatever. Hannah doesn't eat Panera as much as I do. For those of you that don't know,
definitely sad, and I think
Panera
if they deliver to school, they'd get so many orders. I wonder if they don't do that just because they can't handle it. Also, they're located in Phillipsburg, which is over a bridge, and it costs money every time.
But what do you mean? Is delivery available in my area? Like what they don't do it to my hometown either. So can I get a fountain drink with my delivery order? Ugh, Panera's so good. So good. Yeah. Do you have anything else?
Yes.
Go for it.
So as more adolescents play sports that put stress on their knees, like soccer and basketball, there's been a rise in surgeries to repair torn interior, ACL. Basically your ACL. So, I mean, I see this all the time. I feel like athletes here are constantly on crutches and they're like, oh, I tore my ACL. And it's kind of become like a casual expected thing. Like it's not like, if it'll happen, it's when it'll happen. And I think it's just horrible that sports are leading, you know, teenagers who are extremely fit teenagers to this point. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like there must be something done to stop this. And not only not only do you suffer through an ACL, it's now found that arthritis often follows the ACL about a decade later, which is scary.
Honestly, though, we had in high school, we had so many ACL prevention things. Oh, Hannah, a total side note that I remember, we're supposed to do a public service announcement. Can you grab one of those over there? I totally forgot.
I don't think we are.
No, we are, because I talked to a girl that had a show yesterday, and she said that we were supposed to be reading them, and we haven't. So, no, like the things on the blue thing. Yeah. Nope. Yep. Okay.
Okay, so here's our public service announcement. body language can tell you all sorts of things, like someone is having a stroke. You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately. Know the sudden signs. Spot a stroke. FAST. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council. So there it is, people. Know how to spot a stroke. I hope you learned something from that. It's a good thing to know in life.
Definitely.
For all of your emergency situations.
So I think our last PSA of the night, KKG invite party Friday.
Woo!
If you weren't invited, that sucks for you.
Oh, I don't like that word.
I'm sorry.
It stinks
that
for you.
That stinks, but we're really excited. We hope to see you. Lucky people that got the invitation there.
It's going to be so much fun. I think it's going to be one of the best nights of the year.
One of the best.
And it's just going to be unstoppable.
Unstoppable. You heard it here. So the fact that we only have... How many shows do we have left?
Here we go. We have to count down the shows.
No, we have 4 shows left this until our senior year. Hannah, I'm going to have a heart attack.
Me too.
Ugh. Okay. Well, everyone, we have 4 more shows left of the school year, so definitely tune into them.
Hopefully we'll get another person to come in.
Okay, I'm totally lying. We have 3 shows left. We'll be home for Thanksgiving.
Hopefully we'll get someone to come in.
For sure. But... we really appreciate you guys listening in. Thanks to our listeners and our non-callers today. Whatever, it's fine. But we really appreciate you guys listening in and tuning in and sitting with us for the hour. So until next week, guys, thank you so much. You just listened to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. I'm Aiden Trevison.
And I'm Hannah Daugherty.
And you just listened to You've Got Issues. Good night, guys.
Night.
Baby, believe me, I can love you just like that, and I can leave you just as fast. But you don't judge me, 'cause if you did, baby, I'd judge you too. No, you don't judge me, 'cause if you did, baby, I'd judge you too. 'Cause I got issues, but you got them too. So give them all to me, and I'll get mine. Skin the glow. One of them is how bad.